The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 1st and 24th chapters. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. See, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up to heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord. Electric scooters that are designed to be helpful to those who have issues with mobility, they're a wonderful, wonderful thing. My brother uses an electric scooter. As his muscular dystrophy continues to progress, it has impacted his ability to walk. And so he has the electric scooter that he takes with him wherever he goes, and it allows him to fully participate in any activity that the family does as a group. He got his first scooter from my mother-in-law. It was hers, and she would take it wherever we would go when we would travel. On one such occasion, we were visiting the Chautauqua Institute in New York State. We were attending a lecture at the amphitheater. She was sitting on her scooter. And it came time when the lecture we were attending ended, and it was time for question and answer. And she was a firm believer in leaving before question and answer. And her statement was this: "Because people ask stupid questions." I remember, this is the person that wore the sweatshirt. "I'm not just opinionated, I'm always right." So the time came for her to try to sneak out quickly before the question and answer period started. However, she forgot that her scooter had a reverse beeper on it. So she puts it in reverse and starts beeping as she's backing up. She was horrified that people were staring at her, and so she didn't back up as far as she wanted before she put it in the forward, tried to take off, went over a slight ledge that was there, and rolled herself right out of her scooter. Immediately, three people responded to her needs: a pediatrician, she was in her 70s, a psychiatrist, and a gerontologist. We laugh to this day, even as we fondly remember my mother-in-law, that, you know, it's always good to know that when you are in need, you can count on a pediatrician, a psychiatrist, and a gerontologist. Because there are people, as you know, when there is a time of need, who will step in and make a difference. As we focus on the Sunday of St. Luke the Evangelist and the teachings of Jesus in the 24th chapter, we are focusing on Jesus' call for his disciples and those who come after them, Jesus' call for them to continue the work of healing that Jesus started. Our call to continue the work of healing that Jesus started. So what we encounter in the 24th chapter of Luke is the beginning of the story of the resurrection. So we hear how Jesus was raised from the dead. Then right after the story of the resurrection, we have the story of the two followers of Jesus walking to Emmaus, and Jesus is with them, and they don't recognize him until they get to Emmaus, and they sit down to eat together. When Jesus broke the bread, then it was like, oh, that's Jesus that was there, and he disappeared. They run all the way back to Jerusalem, and they're sitting together with their fellow disciples in Jerusalem, and the sentiment is shared, Jesus, the Lord, is risen from the dead. And as they are all pondering what this means, Jesus appears into their midst, which is where today's gospel reading comes in. Jesus appears into their midst and appears as the resurrected Lord. Now, Luke wants us to be sure, as all four gospel writers, that we understand that this appearance is not a ghost. And the way that you can tell that Jesus is not a ghost after he is raised from the dead are there's places in Scripture where Jesus eats, because they believe that ghosts don't eat. It's also important to note that they don't see this as a resuscitation that is being brought back to life because they've been on the edge of losing their life. They see it as a resurrection that is coming to life on the other side of death. And that's what they're striving to understand in this conversation. So Jesus uses the scripture to help them understand what this means. And he shows them that the Messiah is first going to suffer and then is going to be raised from the dead. That challenges the notion that faithful people stay at a distance from those who are broken. God would never appear, they believed, as one who was broken, because they are to keep their difference from those who are broken. And yet, this one who is broken is now raised from the dead, so God has vindicated this broken one and brought them to new life. It's this resurrection power that shapes their understanding of how they engage with one another. The call to stay at a distance from those who are broken is rooted in the belief that people who are ill, people who are disabled, people who are broken in Jesus' day were believed to have sinned, that they had done something wrong, and that was what was bringing about their disease. Now, we don't teach that anymore because we have a much clearer understanding of illness, but I think we still get at this notion that people are responsible for their illnesses. You know, for instance, people define themselves by their illnesses. I'm a cancer survivor, and one's identity is defined by the disease that one fought. And likewise, we come at it in this way by saying that there are things people should do to be healthy, and if they don't, they're going to get sick. We love then to have the opportunity to say that if only you had had a better diet, or you had exercised more, or if you had less anxiety and stress in your life, when really the only source of anxiety and stress is people telling you not to be anxious and stressed, then you wouldn't have the disease. And so we still try to create that space from people who are broken. And I think the reason we do that is because at some point we're going to be confronted with the fact that our bodies will break down and there was nothing we could do to stop it. no good reason. There's no excuse. It's just that we're human beings and our bodies break. At that point, then, we're confronted with its reality. What's the use if I try all the right things and I still am broken? And it's to those that Jesus speaks and calls those who follow him to speak as well, that even when you reach that point in your life when your body is broken and you are breaking down, that God will not abandon you even in that moment. Because this is a God through Jesus who chooses to be with people even at those moments when nothing is working. That's the God we take with us when we encounter one another and bring about the gift of healing to others. The concept of salvation is introduced in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke 19, chapter 10, Jesus states that the reason he came was to seek out people who were needing salvation so that he could save them. And what he was saving them from, we learn from reading the Gospel of Luke, he's saving them from whatever is keeping them from experiencing life as God intends it. You see, for Luke, salvation is not only that moment when everything is set right in the kingdom of heaven, but salvation is also what happens in this life. And so it's a call to focus on the quality of life that God enables people to have here in the present. The language that Luke uses is the language of liberation, being set free from the things that keep us from living that life God intends for us. It is so important to grasp that language of liberation because we know that when we are sick personally, the disease takes hold of us. It keeps us from going where we want to go, keeps us from doing what we want to do. In fact, it gets in the way of us even sometimes doing those normal things that we need to do each and every day. It grabs hold of us and keeps us in bondage, and our world gets smaller and smaller because of the disease. And Jesus says, I want my people to break free from that, and live the life that I intend. The sense of being held in bondage can also be expressed in interpersonal relationships. When you're in that relationship with someone who continually finds ways to bring you down through the words they use, through the withdrawal of affection, through the environment that they create where you don't feel safe, you don't feel whole, you don't feel that you are a good person because of what the other does. Jesus insists that God's people be broken free from that bondage and liberated so they can live the way that God intends people to live. It's also a systemic expression of this bondage. At a recent meeting for Crispus Attucks Community Center, I learned that in one African country, and I cannot remember the country, that in order to start a conversation on how things are going with the civilization and society, they asked this question: how are the children? That the assessment of the system and society is based on the answer to the question, how are the children? I think immediately points us to any moment when we are depriving our children of those things that are necessary for their lives, like health coverage and the funding for that that's not dealt with at a national level. Jesus wants those children to be set free from that kind of inactivity that diminishes people so that even our children can live in a culture the way God wants them to live in that culture. It is each one of us, as a follower of Jesus with the power of resurrection, who is called in what we do and what we say to bring liberation to those who are in bondage to some kind of disease. Luke captures that in the beginning of the book of Luke, this first four verses of the gospel text. He uses a specific writing style that's unique to those who are in authority of the time, the Greco-Roman world. It's the kind of language and form that scientists would use. It's the kind of language and form that those who are technologically advanced would use. It's the kind of language and form that those who work with their hands and create things would use. That is, it's the kind of language all people can understand. He starts to bring in the presence of all. He addresses it to Theophilus. We don't know who he was, but we hear the phrase, most excellent. He was a person of means, and as a person of means, if he said, read what Luke has to write here, people would read and pay attention to it. It's like the mythology I heard here about Pastor Fisher years ago. He would quote the name of a book in a sermon title, and the local bookstore would sell out of the book immediately after worship on Sunday. It is told that the bookstore owner finally called him and said, let me know in advance what books you're going to mention so I can keep more of them in stock for you. Theophilus will make sure people read Luke. Everyone, according to Luke, is brought into this process of resurrection and liberation. And they're given the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of the promise of the future, a promise that Scripture time in and time out shows in form of healing, that the kingdom of God in His fullness is when people can walk again. And the people of God in His fullness are when people can see again, can hear again, can speak again, are no longer in pain or broken. That's the future that is in front of us. The question becomes, how does that future break into the moment now in our interactions with one another? And that's where we are witnesses. Take time to be with a person who is ill. It can be difficult to spend time with a person who's ill, because it is a reminder of our own frailty. You may not know what to say, you may not know what to do, but it's your presence that can make a significant difference. Attend to what you say when you do speak. A friend of mine who recently was diagnosed with prostate cancer said he went to a gathering of other clergy and he shared with them that he was of his diagnosis. He said almost every pastor there said, oh yeah, I remember a friend of mine who had it, and started talking about the other friend. Instead of being present with him and caring for him in that moment. And people share with you their brokenness, attend to the fact that you don't point out someone you know who's suffering the same way, but listen and be present. It is my belief that as Christians, when we are present with one another through the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of resurrection, people can be set free from the bondage in which they find themselves. A friend of mine last winter was getting ready to drive from work to home. She had picked up her young son at childcare. Her young son had just become of the right age and size that he could move into the front seat of the car. And she hesitated to let him move into the front seat, but this one trip she decided to let him move into the front seat. And as they're sitting at a red light, a dump truck literally fails to stop and smashes their car from behind, crushing the back seat. If her son had been in the back seat, he probably wouldn't have survived. The car flips over. They're trapped inside. And you know what happens next? A witness to the accident, who was a physician, comes over to the car, lays on the ground next to her broken window, and says, I will be here with you and help you however you need help. He stayed there till the paramedics and the fire department arrived. He stayed with them as they extricated them from the car, and he rode in the ambulance with them to make sure they got the care they needed in the emergency room. Ministry of presence sets people free through the power of the resurrection. Jesus calls us to engage one another in that way. Amen.